The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin.
Tell you what, Paul Andrews, these earrings are far too sharp to have headphones on. This are is they? Something that female presenters have to, you know, contend with.
Really?
They've got big spikes on them and they're going into my skin.
We'll take them off then.
Well, yeah, I'm just soldiering on.
You're just a fashion victim, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
Just soldiering on.
Anyway, listen, we've got another fantastic guest on the phone now.
It's Jennifer?
It is. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show for the very first time the lovely Jennifer Nash. Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Paul Andrews. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us and taking the time to be with us. I tell you what, Jennifer, why don't you kick off by telling the listeners a little bit about you and the various things that you're involved in, because you're involved in a lot of things, I know.
Thank you for that. In 2015, I co-founded Kiston Group, which is a social business enterprise and a virtually integrated PR and communications agency.
Right.
And then fast forward to that, 2020, I founded Auchinbrook, which is pretty much a membership organization under Kiston Group. And the whole lot is focused on stakeholder communications, community engagement, PR campaign management, and bespoke thought leadership events and conferences.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a moment. And you're also the owner and editor of a magazine, is that right?
That's right. So Spotlight Magazine is an e-publication, which is published twice every 2 months.
Right.
As well as it's supported by Spotlight Net TV, which is a YouTube channel where I speak to thought leaders.
Okay, cool.
You're a busy person by the sounds of it.
Absolutely. You were introduced to me by the lovely Audra Lamoon, and I always take a recommendation from Audra, who said I really ought to talk to you because you're a very interesting lady, and I don't think she's wrong at all. So why don't we kind of explore some of those things that you're doing? Am I right in saying that all of the organisations you have are social enterprises?
Yes, that's correct. Because at heart, I am what I call a philanthropreneur. That's
easy for you to say.
Sorry?
A philanthropreneur.
Philanthropeneur.
Yeah, I like it.
Don't say that with the wrong teeth in.
Philanthropist who uses entrepreneurial skills and tactics to provide social goods to the community. So it is a for-profit. It's similar to a community interest group set up. But more of a social business enterprise.
Sure. So let's kind of dissect the businesses that you're running here. You're running a PR and communications organisation. And who is that aimed at? Who is the community that you're looking to engage with there?
So actually, PR obviously is open to anyone in the world or in any industry, but my focus is mainly in the property development sector, retail, travel and tourism, as well as non-profit organizations.
So is that commercial property, Jen?
Yes, that is commercial property.
Okay, interesting.
Well, as residential, sorry.
Yeah, right at this moment, they're very interesting fields, aren't they? Because they're kind of, everything's being destabilised by this COVID thing at the moment, and the property market essentially is going to be undergoing some fairly radical changes, I think.
That's right, and especially now, they need PR more than anything else.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's a lot of a discontentment in people wanting to work from home and not wanting to use, Jews were saying, commercial properties are kind of like going down in form of preference for working from home.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then people working from home, Jennifer, will need a home office and some space, won't they?
Absolutely. So landlords need to up their game in terms of public relations with their with their tenants.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
And good Wi-Fi, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, lots of things happening in that field. So you must be an incredibly busy lady just with that on its own.
We're getting to be that way. It's not super, super busy, but it's just knowing and balancing your time and knowing what your priorities are. So, I've just been working on a project not so long ago with a client who is has a development in London, and he decided to go a different route of PR. He decided to go with competition.
Right.
Instead of just saying, like, this is my property, I want to sell it, he decided to do a competition where you enter a competition and win a prize, and you've got a chance of winning a two-bedroom flat in London, right, in the heart of London.
Wow.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I kind of... That was a thing a few years ago, wasn't it? There was a couple of people did that where... If I'm right, I mean, tell me if I've got the wrong end of the stick here. But the one I saw a few years ago was someone. There was a cost of entering the competition.
Yeah.
And I think what the idea was that the amount of entries for the competition would actually pay the cost of the property. And then somebody won the property.
Is that how it worked, Jennifer?
Not necessarily, because, like, for instance, the client that I worked with, I won't mention his name because of NDA.
Yeah.
Place, but so the client that I worked with, it was mostly because he wanted that money to go towards the charities of his choice.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Actually involved in two charities which help support the unhoused or people in the homeless.
Yep.
So, and the idea was the money that he would raise, 80% of that would actually go towards that.
Oh,
and
wow. Okay.
Yep. The property was given just really as a way of helping somebody climb that property ladder,
right,
that they normally wouldn't, because he's got a sister and a brother who are millennials and they're struggling to get onto the property market.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it was a call to action, so to speak, a PR sort call to action to other developers to do something similar.
Yeah, wow, what a fantastic thing. You're absolutely right. Millennials and obviously Generation Z are all going to struggle in the housing market because it's just so unbalanced at the moment. No, you're absolutely right. And what a fantastic thing to do. That's brilliant.
How do you, Jennifer, how do you see corporations, big corporations with offices, say, in the city, managing their offices if people are working from home? Do you think they're going to diversify with their offices and have other things going on there?
Yeah, they already have started doing that. There's a thing called, I'm sure everybody's aware of that, but co-working spaces are becoming very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And so co-working spaces are very versatile, because then in times like this, landlords can actually say, okay, we're going to use a booking system, more or less of what they're using in church right now, because a specific space can only accommodate a certain number of people at any given time, keeping in mind the social distancing.
Yep.
So what most landlords, and what I would suggest to most commercial landlords, is to actually apply that same type of system, co-working spaces, because people are getting tired of working from home as well.
Sure.
They still want to be able to go out, and even if it's just once or twice a week. But having the flexibility of saying, I'm not owning this property, I'm not having to pay the whole month's rent every month, even when I'm not there. So if they're sharing that space, then, you know, the costs are kept down, but the landlord benefits by keeping that space occupied at all times.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because I own a co-working space.
He was jumping up and down in his seat, Jennifer.
Yeah, going, oh yes, this lady is very right.
I think you're right, though, because a lot of people have absolutely loved working from home, and they've had a bit more time, they're not commuting, they can cook and exercise, but they miss the companionship maybe of having a natter over a desk, and also getting dressed, you know. Like, I've come into the studio and I've dressed up, I've got mascara on for the first time for like, you know, 185 weeks.
Yeah, because when we were doing this by Zoom, Jennifer, she just rocked up in her pyjamas. It was horrible. It was a horrible. But she did wear a hat for some reason. I have no idea why, but she did.
Every Zoom, Jennifer, I wore a different hat to keep him on his toes.
We still don't know why. But so that's the PR side of what you're doing. And now talk us through some of the other things that you're doing.
So, yeah, so like I said, Akenbrook is a membership body which is under Keystone Group.
Mm.
of which Spotlight magazine and the Net TV YouTube channel, the Thought Leadership Club aspect of it, which are offering, obviously came about as an extension of my desire to offer a non-threatening environment to continue helping leaders to transform their thought leadership objectives. So the bottom line is that I work with emerging thought leaders. Most people don't even know they're thought leaders.
Yeah.
So if a person has been working in the same exact business, same exact industry for over 3 years, and they've probably attained 10,000 hours doing the same exact skill repeatedly, I would say that they've become a thought leader. And if they're not yet well polished, so I help them, I hold them accountable to that that space, and help them to create their media personas and grow their propositions in terms of earning industry and media recognition.
Yeah.
So pretty much I coach them to become more visible, more self-aware, and just have that ability to tell their stories, really.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, all of the things you said there are really, really cool. But last thing first, I mean, I'm a real fan of storytelling in business, and I think that's incredibly important. But I think what you've highlighted there is how many people do have expertise in different fields and don't really realise the value of their expertise.
And
I guess what you're doing is helping them draw that out.
I'm definitely helping them draw that out. That's why I also went ahead and created a YouTube channel,
right,
because I thought this would be sort of a training ground. You know, when a child is learning how to ride a bike, they go on three wheels, and then you take the wheels off, and then they can ride the bike. A lot of people had stage fright, or they're just so afraid to go into tier one media, and they're like, okay, they have the imposter syndrome problem.
Yep.
They're like, oh, I'm not worthy to be on BBC. I'm not worthy to be on TV. Who am I? So what I decided to say, okay, let's train you, let's give you that confidence, build your confidence by, let me interview you, let me sit you in that hot seat, interview you, you get used to that, and as you get used to that, you're getting more comfortable with being who you are and telling your story. And it's about consistency. The more you tell your story, the more confident you get and the more credible you sound. So so that's my training ground that I've created right now.
Absolutely. You know, we're singing from the same hymn sheet here, because I fully agree with what you're saying. And how many people in businesses and in organizations don't understand the power that they have of delivering their story. You know, they get nervous about the platform rather than the content.
That's true. That is very true. And then on top of that, thought leadership is about connecting yourself, your inner soul, your authentic self, as I put it. So that your ability to share that story is very essential, because, you know, it's about your legacy, is about touching the lives that you actually touch.
Yep.
And as a thought leader, it's about giving away lessons so that others can be able to replicate your success. And that's what I always tell my my clients. And as Oprah says, your ability to share your story only helps the trajectory of others who listen.
Yep.
So if you keep at it, you keep on learning, it doesn't matter what you've achieved per se, but you can learn from your mistakes and just become a better version of yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
So put yourself out there, the more confident you get.
Yep.
So Jennifer, give us anyone listening who's thinking about that they need to bring themselves forward, what is the number one tip you would start off with?
So the number one tip that I would give everyone is just to enhance their visibility. It doesn't matter whether you're enhancing your visibility on social media in a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
You start with that. You start with just maybe creating videos, also known as vlogs.
Mm.
Once you get comfortable speaking in the camera to yourself, it's like talking to yourself in the mirror. Once you get all those fears out, and then you'll be more comfortable when you're placed in a place where it's open and everybody else is listening or watching you.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen, Twitter have just launched a thing for iPhones where you can tweet an audio clip.
Which I've been doing.
Yeah, but you can only do it on an iPhone at the moment.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've seen that,
it's
Jennifer.
Not in the USA at the moment,
yeah,
but it is
no,
in
but
the
here.
UK. Yeah.
So you basically, when you tweet, you compose a tweet by just speaking.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, for those people that aren't used to doing it, that's a really simple way to start. You know, yep. a few seconds of audio clip will get you feeling much more comfortable in front of a microphone and therefore more comfortable in front of a camera as well. I'm sure that you're fully aware of this. One of the reasons that we do radio here is because we've got a face for radio.
and we're old.
And we're old and wrinkly. So you know, a lot of people, when faced with a camera, start to worry about how they look rather than the content of what comes across, because once you start telling your story or delivering the content, people ignore how you look. It's irrelevant. It's the story that's important. But so many people, when they first start out on this journey, get very self-conscious about it.
That's true, yeah. But I'm not very good on camera myself, but I've told myself, I've been on TV so many times, I've been on camera so many times, but when I'm doing my own selfies, style camera, I tend to be uncomfortable because it's not natural.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, and it feels immodest to some extent as well, which I think is a kind of British characteristic that we all feel a bit, you know, immodest when we start blowing our own trumpet, as it were.
But it's funny because when Jennifer, when we have guests on the Business Bunker, sometimes they're incredibly nervous, and Paul and I have been doing it for years, so we tend to forget that, you know, that we are live and we're on radio.
Yeah.
And then once they've gone through the pain and they've done it, they go, "That was great. When can I come on again?" You know.
Yeah.
And that's interesting as well.
I had a chap once that came in, and he was physically sick before he went on air.
Yeah.
He went to the loo and was physically sick. He was so nervous.
Yeah.
And at the end of the show, after we'd gone off air, he said to me, "Is there any chance I could get my own show?"
Amazing.
I know. So
chat for my clients that I use for them. So the most important thing is that they need to manifest, believe, and then act. So it's an MBA that I give them before they even start their school.
I see what you did there, an MBA.
Yes.
Manifest, believe, and act. I like it. So just give us a feel for, is there any kind of, the type of clients that you're working with, people coming to you and saying, "Look, I want some assistance with this, Jennifer." Is there any uniform background to people? Are they tend to be millennials? Are they from particular industry types, or is it across the board?
Okay, right now, what is consistently happening is entrepreneurs, women that are just starting out, they're leaving their 9-to-5 jobs. They've become so fed up with their jobs and all. They're very frustrated. The biggest, the main thread I've been getting from most of my guests has been frustration.
Right, okay.
Frustrated, I don't want to work for anyone. So it's those that are quite shy, they're not very sure of themselves, they don't have that confidence built in them. They're not natural born entrepreneurs, so to speak. So they need help with just acclimatizing into the environment of being an entrepreneur, but also just like you said earlier on, I think Jude said, losing that modesty and supporting themselves to become more visible. Those are the types of women that I'm working with. But on the other hand, I'm working with women that have challenged the status quo, so to speak. They've gone into industries that normally wouldn't be expected for women.
Such as?
Sorry?
Such as which industries?
Such as film production. Film production. I had one guest on my show. She's fought to be recognized as a film producer for 14 years.
Wow.
But then in our industry, ourselves as PR professionals, as you may have noticed, that in C-suite positions, you hardly see women. So women have gone ahead and started their own agencies, so that they can get heard and they can get the respect they deserve. Because they can't be called to the table. So what we are saying is, go out in the woods and chop the woods yourself and build a table and sit on it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Absolutely, yeah. I love it. Yeah, and of course, one of the brilliant things, you know, there's always pros and cons of everything, but one of the brilliant things about the new digital communities that we work in is that you can now do that. You can go out and start your own film production business or TV company or radio show or whatever it is you want to do. You have far more chance of being able to do that than, you know, 20 or 30 years ago when the platforms didn't exist, where, you know, to get anywhere you had to be part of one or two organizations.
Yeah, that's true. And so that's why I also created an incubation platform. Of course, the Thought Leadership Club is open to, it's non-gender, it's open to everyone.
Right.
That's the one that I have on LinkedIn. But I've also got an exclusive space for women, because I feel like women are normally disadvantaged, and there's a lot of disparities when it comes to women, in, especially in roles like thought leadership. You'd hardly get, maybe if we just had to do a check right now, a quick check, Forbes 100, New York Times, the top 100 will probably 90% be men.
Yep.
So yep. I'm trying to help amplify women's voices to get heard as well.
Yeah, well,
absolutely.
Women are at home often, you know, bringing up children, and, you know, just look at when you have a baby, what it does to your career.
Mm.
It's very, very difficult. You have two or three kids.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the house and you're bringing them up. So
it's tough. And that's why this whole scene of flexibility and self-creation is becoming more and more prevalent, especially for women, and, you know, women that have childcare issues as well. That's why it's just so important.
Well, when men can breastfeed, darling, we'll be there, won't we?
Yeah,
stand
right.
A chance then.
Yeah. Don't start her off, Jennifer. Once she starts, we'll never get rid of her. I just want to move on to the Spotlight magazine that you've got as well, and just hear a bit more about that.
Okay. So, yeah, so we launched the first issue in April, and like I said, it's an e-publication, so it comes out every 2 months.
Right.
The next issue is out in August. So in the magazine, I've done a few departments, and the main department being the Thought Leadership 101, where I get a lot of experts share their tips and productivity hacks, how to become your own publicist, pretty much.
Right.
And then I've got another section, which is The View, where we either interview people who are in a different industry, any industry, for them to give us insights and their own advice on in their specific industry that they're experts in. And then the other one is The Scoop, where we discuss different types of things that based on what's trending. For instance, the last issue happened to be in June, and what was trending then was Black Lives Matter.
Yep.
So I got a lot of people who had very great opinions and a lot of good stuff to say about it.
Yep.
To comment in terms of an article.
Hmm.
I've got a section which is a Thrive section, which is because I strongly believe, I'm a believer that you need to have a work-life balance.
Yeah, of course.
So this is a section where we have things that are something to do with lifestyle, whether it's movies, for instance. I have my own husband does movie reviews.
Right.
So whatever movies is watched that month, he does reviews on that. And then I've got a lot of other contributing editors who give us recipes and any advice that would help you to thrive from your 9-to-5 day job.
Fantastic. I hope you don't let your hubby critique your YouTube appearances.
Sorry, say that again?
I said I hope you don't let your hubby critique your YouTube appearances.
Not even there, if you're not. If you're not.
Jennifer, most important, do you actually like the same films, you and your husband?
Yes, actually, we share that passion for film in general.
Phew.
We tend to agree on most of the genres that we watch. But every so often, as with any couple, we do disagree.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm a fan of a period drama, and my husband is not. So I have to sort of send him off on his windsurf or something if I want to watch, a period drama.
Yeah. More into that, and maybe older films. I'm more into current films.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes I even go as far as chick flicks, and he will do more sci-fis.
Yeah. Well, all right, okay.
Yeah. So on that.
Jennifer, look, it's been fantastic talking to you. We could talk to you forever, but sadly we're running out of time. If people want to find out more about all the things you do, what's the best way of making contact with you, finding out about the range of things that you're doing?
Thank you so much, Paul, for that. They can subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is Spotlight Net TV,
right.
And so that they can be the first ones to be notified when we've published something new.
Yep.
And also, my website, if they want to join the Thought Leadership Club, they can go to akanbrook.com.
Right.
And there's a lot of their menus there where they can find out more about Spotlight Magazine. They can find out more about all the other PR and wonderful events that we do.
Fantastic. We've put the links to those on the radio website. They'll stay on there forever. So if people want to check that out, just check the Biz Radio website, and the links to Jennifer's pages are there. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We wish you continued success with all the things that you're doing, and stay safe.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure as well.
I hope to meet you in person one day, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Myself too. Thank you.
Take care now. Stay safe.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She's a busy
person. Busy lady. Very busy lady. Jennifer Nash there.
Fingers in lots of pies. And I've just looked at Spotlight Zine. You'll see it on the Twitter at Spotlight Zine. And the fabulous Audra LeMoon is on there with a YouTube a Spotlight Net TV.
Yeah.
So I'll have a look at that later. I've just texted it to myself.
And there's a website, Ark and Brook, where you can get access to all of the things in one go. And as I say, there's a link on the Business Bunker Radio site.
And I love that that saying, when they can't welcome you to the table, you go out and chop some wood and make your own table to sit on. Bols St John. Love that.
Yeah, it's a lovely saying, isn't it?
I'm getting my axe right ready now.
I've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens, Care in Kent, and she says, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker Show for all the Care in Kent home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to our Care in Kent team for their exceptional role in caring for the vulnerable despite all the current risks.
Yeah.
Thank you for your dedication and hard work. And that's from Kim. And we 100% agree with you, Kim.
We'd love to know how you're all getting on and what you're wearing and how you're managing with masks and things. That would be very interesting to hear from you.
Yeah. If you want to try and find some other tweets, I've got loads of...
I will. Staines Farm Shop have popped on, and they've, of course, have been keeping me, my provisions coming in for my mum with a lovely weekly delivery of their amazing produce. And David and team... David gets up at 4 a.m. to get that produce to Whitstable customers. And, of course, it's the Whitstable Radish Festival this weekend.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah, who knew? But I did... do a little radish video, I think, earlier on.
You did a radish video.
I did. It's on my
YouTube. And what does a radish video consist of?
It was just pretty, and I was chopping it up, and it's on my thingy bobby, you know, my Instagram, I believe. And of course, they've got the local Morling Century strawberries. Is that that's West Morling?
I would have thought so, yeah.
Centenary strawberries, the only strawberry that's ever to be nominated for a prize at the Chelsea Flower Show.
Wow.
There you go. But they're delivering. So shop local, go and see them. They're in Whitstable High Street, or give them a call or give them a text like I do, and I send them a little shopping list. Lots of grapefruits for my grapefruit daiquiri. Nurse Liz from Pennsylvania, hello to you. She's listening in. Then we were talking, I was having a little conversation with someone called Jim Agar. He's Agar 61. He's a retired tooth puller. Does that mean dentist?
I think he's a dentist, yeah.
Lifelong Alfisti and amateur of great food, wine and beer. So he's from Deal, I think, Deal, Kent. And he, we were talking about leaving the EU and what will happen to, you know, cars, like German cars, French cars that we drive. And we were talking about British cars. And he says there's Morgan, there's Noble, there's McLaren, Ariel and Caterham, all pretty small but superb engineering and design. Now, you love a car, Paul Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any of those names?
Yeah.
I mean, I know Morgan, I know McLaren, I know Caterham. I've never heard of Ariel or Noble. Do you know them?
Yes, indeed. Noble's a current car. Noble's a sports
car. Made out
of
currents?
No.
It's new, is it?
It's been around about eight or 9 years, probably.
And what about Lotus? Is that English?
Lotus?
Yeah. Is that Italian or English? You're looking at me with a funny face. I don't know.
I'm absolutely gobsmacked.
Is it English?
Think about what you just said to me.
Lotus. English.
Lotus.
Yeah.
And you were a...
John Player Special. Yeah.
And JPS were...
John Player Special.
Part of...
Cigarettes.
Part of...
McLaren.
Lotus.
Lotus, but
and you had a Lotus company car.
Yeah, but I was 25.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was before Noah was born.
So, is it English?
They're in Norfolk. Yeah,
I told you it was English. I was. Yeah, you've just.
But you worked for them. You great prawn.
Yeah, but I didn't go to the where it was built. And I mean, me and James Hunt, darling, like that.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
But I didn't know it was made in Norfolk. I have to say, when they gave it to me, I didn't say, "Now, where is it built? Is it British?" I knew it was English.
I'm going to ignore her, listener.
But the Esprit bit could well be Italian, couldn't it?
So it's just the name of a car. It's the Lotus Esprit. It's not even the current car.
And Jaguar's English, isn't it? And Rolls-Royce. Are we still making them?
If we're going to go down this route, we've only 20 minutes
another
of the show left. We're not going to get anywhere. They're both British names, but Jaguar is owned by an Indian company and Rolls-Royce is owned by BMW. But apart from that, yeah, fine.
Okay, yeah. So it was British, but not now.
I've had a tweet from local food and drink, Angus Fergus, and he says, I'm managing the second hour of the show on the Business Bunker Show. Well, thanks for joining us, Angus. It's a pleasure to hear from you. And Angus, give Angus a follow on the Twitter. He's a fairly new business. Food Drink Tours is his Twitter handle. It's local food and drink tours, and they're all about bringing together food producers, destinations and consumers in regions around the UK. So do give him a follow and find out what he's up to, because it sounds like he's got a really interesting thing going there, and he's been incredibly good at supporting us. So a huge thank you to Angus.
Yeah, hello, yeah. Angus. And Beverly Bunn, and I've upset her. She's going, oh, my God, Jules Serkin, Lotus Elan Sprint, my all-time favourite sports car. What's she like? Vanilla Webb. She said it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's horrified.
Well, to be honest, Bev, I couldn't believe it when she asked me that.
I did say I thought it was English, but I didn't want to sort of, you know, like I thought Rolls Royce was English, but now you're telling me it's, I don't know, made in India or something.
Oh, no. So owned by BMW.
I think it used to be English.
Well, lots of things used to be
in
English.
The old days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beverly Bunn Glass Art. Good afternoon. Great show as ever today. I'm just back from a lovely dog walk along the river between Teesston and East Farley. Oh, it's lovely along there. And now working up some garden glass designs for Simon Pollard at Simple Life to show his client. Happy days.
Did you see her fish pond project part 4?
I know.
It's really
fantastic,
beautiful.
Isn't it? Absolutely beautiful.
She had 5 different layouts to try, but it is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah,
I could wear that, I think. Mm. Well done, Beverly. And is she driving around in Lotus? I don't know. I think she is, maybe.
DC Weddings have showed you a picture of the Ariel Atom. The Ariel Atom is a kit car.
Okay. How long would that take for me to make that?
For you or a normal person?
I'm not sure I could actually squash into that, frankly.
I don't think you'd get into it anyway. But
I have enough trouble getting into my Merca now. You know, I sort of stagger out of it, fall out of it, really.
Yeah.
That's a really nice car.
Yep. I've got quite a few things that I need to catch up with, so let me try and do that now. Peter Searle, Biz ADVSR Invicta, Business Advisor Invicta is his Twitter handle. I'm hosting a free Federation of Small Business networking event with Metro Bank on Wednesday the 29th of July between 4 and 5 p.m. with guest speaker Tracy Ann Barker of Tabat Official. You can book by going to fsb.org.uk event calendar and booking your position there. Wednesday the 29th of July, 4 until 5 p.m. Business networking at Metro Bank.
Book now for Marsh Network Online. It's Wednesday the 22nd of July, so that's next week. They say another good turnout for Marsh Network Live was last Wednesday with 25 people booked and 22 in the Zoom room. And they heard about what businesses offer and the support that they were looking for. Had a great discussion about what business is beginning to look like as we come out of lockdown. And you can book for the 22nd of July. It's 10:30 Wednesday. And you can go to, the details will be on Kent Business Radio, on businessbizradio.co.uk. And that's from the lovely Terry Botfield.
Mm. TD Botty.
TD Botty on the Twitter.
Mm. I tell you, you've been posting this really horrible picture of me looking really glum and grim.
It's not my fault if you don't smile. But we'll do another one after.
No, you were probably chuntering about something I didn't want you to chunter about at the time you took the picture.
Another one. I thought you looked quite sweet in it, really. It was
really?
Your earnest face.
Yeah.
Why, are you having comments about it?
No, but Beverly's talking about cars still. My friend's mum had a purple one with a silver glitter roof in the 70s. If I could find one like that now, I'd definitely buy it.
Well, mine was black with, obviously, the JPS in gold.
Yeah.
And I had to go around in black and gold. And I used to take it to all the racetracks and stuff. But there were five of them that the girls had. And three of them got written off by the girls who just couldn't handle it. Because it was turbo. It was very, very fast. And we were 25, you know. So they just used to go into car fields, you know, into cow fields and that, round a bend.
Mm.
But very nice. I used to drape myself over it with James Hunt, which was fun. Is he still alive, James
Hunt?
Oh, no. I am.
His son is racing these days.
Wow. Wow. And the other car I used to like, my dentist used to drive the white Saint, the Volvo white, you know, that Roger Moore used to have in the Saint.
Hmm.
The white Volvo.
Yep, yep, yep.
What was that called?
That was a Volvo P1600.
And when I was...
They're fantastic cars. They're still worth a lot of money
when
if you can get hold of one.
When I was 16, I was offered... my dentist said I could buy it for £150.
Good grief. Do you know how much they're worth now?
I didn't have the money. I was earning £25 a week or something as a dental nurse. So had I known, yeah.
Right, do another thing.
So we've got Jenna, and they say that we're delighted to promote the forthcoming Shepway Sports Trust Charity Golf Day, and they are the main sponsor of the event for the third year running. The Trust are able to proceed with the day, which will, of course, adhere to all enhanced safety measures, heightened hygiene and social distancing to allow them to raise vital funds to continue the amazing work that they do. And you can find out more about this on the ShepwaySportsTrust.org. The day will be held on Friday the 11th of September at the glorious Broome Park Golf Club. It's £40 a person and the format is Texas Scramble. It's a relaxed and enjoyable day, and I'm sure even more welcome this year as a chance to get back out networking in a safe manner. And this is from Ella Brocklebank. So that is September, Friday the 11th, and it's at the glorious Broome Park Golf Club. £40 a person, charity golf day, and it's ShepwaySportsTrust.org or on bizradio.co.uk. You'll find the link.
Fantastic. The FSB have a webinar on Thursday the 30th of July at 12:30. What's next for tourism and hospitality in Kent? Join an interactive virtual meeting hosted by Deborah Turner, U-Image Consult is her Twitter handle, to hear about plans for the recovery of the region's tourism and hospitality industry. To book your place, I can't give you this link, it's far too long and complicated. So the best thing to do is either follow one of these two accounts, U-Image Consult, or FSB Kent, and you can find out the details and book your place on that webinar.
And FSB Kent, this is Wednesday the 15th of July, so mañana, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. They're asking, maximise your membership with What's In It For Me. Now more than ever is the time to make sure you're making the most of your FSB benefits. I get the newsletter. Do you ever read it? I mean, it's terrible. You know, I don't get time. It stays in the envelope with things to do in my one of my laundry baskets, you know, to-do list. But yeah, now is the time to make the use. So that's Wednesday the 15th of July, mañana, 11 to 12. You can register by going to www.fsb.org.uk/, go onto the events calendar and find the What's In It For Me, 15th of July.
Cool.
There's also a virtual business support with Bupa, the healthcare experts, and that's Wednesday the 15th of July at 1:45 to 3. It's hosted by Rosemary French, OBE. Bupa Healthcare has partnered with FSB to bring you an exclusive virtual support session with a Q&A for small biz owners. So that's another one. You can go on to the FSB events calendar and find out more about virtual business support with Bupa Healthcare experts.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through the hundreds and hundreds of tweets that we got just to make sure that I've picked out all the ones that need picking out. But I'm still trying to find them. Oh, I've got one about beach huts, but we don't want that. Right. I can tell you my Lotus story if you like.
Well, I have got one more thing to read.
Go on then.
FSB Maidstone Virtual Networking. This is Wednesday, the 29th of July. We need these more than ever now. It's 4 to 5pm. Come and meet other businesses and expand your network at the next virtual FSB Connect event. It's hosted by Peter Searle, and you can register by going to www.fsb, F for Freddy, S for Sugar, B for Bertie, .org.uk. Go on the event calendar and find the virtual networking, which is slotted in on the 29th of July. Another one. Good.
Fantastic. There's virtual business support cash flow management on Wednesday the 22nd of July, 12pm to 1:15pm. It's for small business owners. Knowledge and understanding of cash flow management is crucial for business survival right now. And this is being delivered in partnership with an organisation called WENTA, W-E-N-T-A. If you want to book it, fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB East of England. I also need to tell you about a new government initiative, which is a Sustainable Innovation Fund. UK registered businesses can apply for a share of up to £55 million for new projects focusing on sustainable economic recovery from COVID-19. It's a competition and it's open between the 29th of June and the 29th of July. And to find out more, if you go to applyforinnovationfunding.service.gov.uk, that's apply, this is hyphenated, apply-for-innovation-funding.service.gov.uk/competition, and you can find out an overview of how you could bid to receive part of a £55 million fund for new sustainable projects. And also, the Lower Thames Crossing consultation opens on the 14th of July. That's today, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Highways England are proposing a number of changes to the design of the Lower Thames Crossing project following feedback received from earlier consultations and discussions with local stakeholders, ongoing design developments and new technical data. To have your say, there is an online survey and it's available to fill in from today. If you want to take part in that survey, it's highwaysengland.co.uk/Lower Thames Crossing. Design consultation. That's highwaysengland.co.uk/Lower Thames Crossing design consultation.
And you can join the FSB again. It's the FSB show today. Join us as guest speaker Karen McFadden from the Catex Group. That's on the Twitter at C-A-T-A-X Group. I think there might be a hyphen there, but I can't tell because there's a line. Highlights government tax relief initiatives during COVID-19, including research and development, capital allowance, remediation of contaminated land and patent box. And that's 11am on the 16th of July. I don't know what any of that means, Paul Andrews, but I'm sure you do. You can go onto the fsb.org.uk event calendar and find out how to register for that. That's the Catex Group. And restaurants can now register for the government's Eat Out to Help Out scheme for 50% meals discount Monday to Wednesday, capped at £10 a person, and the scheme is live from the 3rd of August. Go to www.gov.uk guidance, register your establishment for the Eat Out to Help scheme. Register, Paul.
Right.
I'm getting lots of tweets about my Lotus Esprit. So somebody on the Twitter, at Sir Fatuous Pauper, it's called. He says, yes, but owned by Proton.
Yeah, who are Malaysian.
Okay, so not British anymore.
No, but they're in I didn't say they were British. I said they were in Norfolk. Their factory's in Norfolk, Hessel.
Okay, well, I was alluding to, was it British, though, meaning owned by? I mean, we could have a fight about this.
Yeah, I can't be bothered with all this, which country owns what company, because none of it makes sense, because they're all public companies with shareholders all over the place.
And the lovely Jennifer has just popped up. She's just been on the Bee Bunker Radio. Thank you, Paul and George. You make it look and sound so easy. Really enjoyed our chat just now. Yeah.
I've had a tweet from the lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes as well of Orchard Employment Law, and she says nobody likes to make redundancies or to have to restructure their business, as it can be very unsettling. That's why it's important to have trustworthy advice that's going to be the best for the business and the staff. We provide advice and support in relation to redundancies and restructures, big or small. So do give Gemma a follow on the Twitter. Her Twitter handle is Gemma Fair Hay.
And that's Gemma with a J, isn't it?
Yeah, Gemma with a J, F-A-I-R-H-A-Y, Gemma Fairhay. Do give her a follow on the Twitter. She's an employment lawyer and she's brilliant.
Yeah, and she's been very busy, of course, during COVID because there's so much going on and so much people don't know and need to know. There's a webinar, Time to Re-evaluate Value, Accelerating the Journey Towards Value-Based Decision-Making in UK Construction.
Right.
It's taking place on Thursday the 16th of July, that's this week, at 1 p.m.
Right.
And you can register, it's 3Ws, register.go2webinar.com, register. And details will be on bizradio.co.uk later on, I'm sure.
Mm. There's a breaking news report here as well from the BBC.
Oh, what's happening?
That Huawei have now been removed from the 5G. And they've been told to remove all of their kit from the UK by 2027.
That's huge.
Yeah, so this breaking news, I don't know how efficacious that is. I've just seen it on Twitter. Interesting, but it is a BBC report, so I suppose...
we believe the BBC.
Yeah.
I was going to say, well, who's going to do it then?
Who knows?
Who are we going to ask?
Huawei.
We need some friends in Singapore, perhaps. They're pretty straightforward Singaporeans, aren't they?
Absolutely.
We need some geeks.
Yeah.
Some real geeks.
I've got some information here on the new announcements that the Chancellor made recently.
Yeah.
That I thought might be worth just emphasising.
Yeah.
Because as you're aware, the Chancellor announced the mini budget last week. And the headline things there were a job retention bonus. The government will pay employers £1,000 per employee that they bring back from furlough so long as they employ them until at least January. So I assume you get the £1,000 in January once you've brought them back. Mm. There's been a VAT cut from 20% to 5% on food, accommodation and attractions, taking effect from the 15th of July until the 12th of January 2021.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So how is that? What are your thoughts? You've got 5 minutes, haven't you?
Yeah, I haven't got long. I haven't got enough time to go into that. No, one of the funny things I saw was an opposition MP that went, oh, yeah, so what if you make sandwiches then? Because VAT is on hot food. And everybody went, there is no VAT on sandwiches.
Ever.
And he went, oh, right.
Yeah. And what about if you put hot bacon in it? I'm just saying.
50% off meals. The government will give people 50% off meals in participating restaurants on Mondays and Wednesdays in August, up to £10 a person. And I think we read a link to how to register for that. Have you read that link?
Yes.
You did, didn't you, earlier?
Tell me what it was. I was answering a tweet then.
Yeah.
Give me a clue.
It was a link to the government scheme to register if you're a food and drink outlet that wants to eat out.
It's just go to 3ws.gov.uk /register your establishment for the Eat Out to Help scheme register. Go on the 3ws.gov.uk and register. You'll see it there for your 50 meals. My thoughts on that is a lot of the small restaurants actually close on a Monday and a Tuesday, some of them, because they don't get the business.
Yeah.
So are they going to open and not have any breaks at all on a Monday and Tuesday?
Well, I guess if they want to participate in it it's going to be a thing, they're going to open on Monday and Tuesday and shut on Thursday and Friday or Wednesday and Thursday or whatever.
Yeah, I was having a rant earlier about the number of people that are booking and they're not turning up.
Oh, that's terrible. I saw a chef the other day had 27 bookings that didn't show up or something. That's outrageous, isn't it?
But I had, from my hairdresser, I'm actually getting my hair trimmed, the lovely Mariano.
Right.
And I had a tweet from him which said, you know, I'm in tomorrow. And he said, please read, you know, dear Jules, you're coming in. Please read our COVID rules about what I have to wear and blah de blah. And it says, please note 50% will be payable if cancelled within 48 hours. Please read our online COVID-19 policy before attending. Please reply with C to confirm that you've read this. And that's a business, and that's what they've got to do.
Yeah, unfortunately,
you
they
can't
have.
Be woolly at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does this make or break?
The lovely Vicky at Pink Spaghetti PA Services has said, great show. Thank you. Two very good interviews and good to hear of all the informative and helpful stuff happening out there. Well, thank you, Vicky, and thank you for joining us on the show.
And Diamond Circle has sent me some fabulous pictures, and he says, they say, Lotus was British, Senna just saying, as you mentioned, Hunt, James Hunt, that is.
Yeah.
The photo on the left was the Lotus that was used in The Spy Who Loved Me, 007 James Bond, and became a sub. Does that mean submarine? It must be, yeah. I'll have to dig my pictures out. I've got one of me somewhere sprawled around with James Hunt. He loved me. Sadly, I don't really like blonde men. I like dark men. But he was nice, you know, don't get me wrong.
Well, very quickly, my Lotus story. When I owned a motor racing team, we were testing at Silverstone one Wednesday morning in the wet, and in the garage next to us was the Lotus F1 team.
Wow.
And the drivers both wandered into our garage and went, "What you got there then?" And we said, "We got a car that don't work." And Satoru Nakajima, who was the driver, and Derek Warwick, who were the two Lotus F1 drivers at the time. Satoru Nakajima, the Japanese driver, was absolutely fabulous. He went, "Well, I'll take the car out and have a look." And he took the car out and did three or four laps of Silverstone and brought it in. And he went, "No, the problem you got is it doesn't do this and it doesn't do that." And we made changes to it. And then the Lotus engineers came in and said, "Oh, we'll change the tracking for you." And they set our car up. And that weekend, we raced... we were in Formula 3, and that weekend we raced at Silverstone and we won.
Because of all the changes.
Because all the changes
you
made to the car.
You had friends in high places.
Exactly, yeah.
Reminds me, on my Merc, I've got, I didn't check the petrol because I'm so used to not going out anymore. So I'm on, it's just come on the reserve. So can I get back to Whitstable on reserve?
Normally a reserve tank's about 30 miles normally.
And also there's a little orange light.
You could just put your hand in your pocket and put some petrol in the car.
Yeah, I know, but then I've got to put gloves on, and I might get a new husband to do it. He can pop out and do it.
Well, see, you're going to drive back past Sainsbury's and they've got the cheapest petrol for miles.
Yeah, I will go past. Oh, yeah, I might pop in there.
Yeah.
Then I can get myself a Magnum.
A Magnum of what? Champagne?
No, those dark classics.
Oh, an ice cream?
I never have champagne when I'm driving, especially not a Magnum.
I was just finishing off on some of the things that the Chancellor announced, and one of the other things, or a couple of the other things, were the Job Seekers Support. $1 billion to the Department for Work and Pensions to help job seekers, including increasing the number of coaches in job centres. Stamp duty has been scrapped on property sales up to £500,000 until the 31st of March 2021. There's a green investment package, £3 billion green investment package, including £2 billion in grants for landlords and homeowners to improve energy efficiency of homes, up to £5,000 per household. The rest will go towards work improving the energy efficiency of public buildings. And there's a thing called a Kickstart scheme for young adults. £2 billion kickstart scheme designed to boost jobs for young adults. The government will subsidise the wages of six-month work placements for certain 16 to 24-year-olds.
Brilliant.
And the government is offering companies new payments for taking on trainees and apprentices.
Fabulous, yeah.
We need to do lots to generate jobs. That's what we've got to do.
It's going to be a bit scary in the winter, I believe.
Absolutely.
And I know that California's just gone back into lockdown. I read that yesterday. So we have to be extremely careful, but keep working. We've got to get out there and work. We can't just sit at home.
Absolutely. Well, Ashford's in danger of being locked down again now as well. We're at the top of the park.
There was as I drove in this morning, they were saying that East Kent, Margate and Ashford hospitals have both had, you know, bad reviews or bad marks on the thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised because, I mean, you had a bad experience in Ashford waiting ages. And I really wasn't impressed with the hygiene at Margate. Mm. As I said, no checks at the beginning. But we need to be more careful, much more careful.
What's that a picture of? You just tweeted something. It's a picture of a big knob by the looks of it.
It's my coffee.
Oh, it's your coffee.
I was answering. Jennifer.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I didn't expand the picture.
Yeah.
I got it.
It's my little coffee, which I often send you a coffee morning, don't I?
You
should recognise that. She said she'd love to meet me for a virtual coffee time. She doesn't mention you at all.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't, Jen. If I were you, Jennifer, I wouldn't do that at all.
But she says it's virtual, so she doesn't really want to meet me face to face.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
She's a bit scared,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't blame her. Listen, we're at the end of another show.
It goes quickly.
It does go quickly.
And, Pink Spaghetti has enjoyed it, she said. Two very good interviews and good to hear all the informative and helpful stuff happening out there. I'm galloping now because I know you want to finish.
Yeah, I'm trying to finish and you'll keep interrupting.
Is it the news coming?
Yeah, it is. I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests today, Mark Rose of B-Mix and Jennifer Nash of Ark & Brook. Thank you so much. To our show sponsors this week, Fit for Trade. To my gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. And most of all, to all of you, the listeners out there that tweeted, emailed and engaged with us on the show. Thank you so much. We'll be back with another show next week. In the interim, stay safe, stay good, and we'll see you all next week.
Stay sanitised.
Bye for now.
Bye. This is Channel 2.